So we're going to get right into the word now. I believe that God has a word for us. Last week, we heard a phenomenal word from my good friend, Pastor Vernon Gordon. Make some noise in the comment section if you were blessed by that word, being free from the bondage of busyness. How many of y'all, just raise your hand in the comment section. How many of y'all were like convicted by that, but at the same time encouraged? To realize, like, you know what, I got a lot of stuff going on, and there's been some things that have been out of whack in this season, but that word just really kind of helped to reorient us and get us back in line so that way we can flourish and become the people that God has called us to be. So if you missed that message or any message in this series called Entanglements, I would encourage you to go online and watch and listen to the series because this series has been one that I believe is strategic in this season. And really honestly, family, we've been in this series now for almost 2 months. This is like the longest sermon series we've ever done in the life of our church. And some of you guys are like, man, Pastor Edwin, why have we been in this series so long? And here's the reason. If we can be honest, we can find ourselves entangled in a plethora of strongholds. And detangling things takes time. And I can attest to that because we have a daughter and she has long, beautiful brown hair. And sometimes things will get caught up in her hair, whether it's a bow or just some other things get caught up in her hair. And it doesn't take any time for it to get caught up in her hair, but it takes time to detangle it. Come on, somebody, y'all know what I'm talking about. It don't take nothing to get into some stuff, but it takes some time to get that stuff up off of you. And so I want you to know that the reason why we're slow walking this series and looking at different things that have us entangled is because God wants us to experience the freedom. You can get entangled into something in a moment that can take years to get free from. And so we're slow walking this series, but I want to let you know that in 2 weeks, we are beginning a brand new series, and it's going to be a hot one, y'all. It's going to be somewhat, maybe a little controversial, but I believe it's going to be prophetic for the time that we're in. It's going to speak to politics and how we should approach politics from a kingdom and a biblical perspective. And we're calling this series The Donkey, the Elephant, and the Lamb. The Donkey, the Elephant, and the Lamb. So in 2 weeks, we're going to start that series, and you want to make sure that you are tuned in, watching, inviting people to watch with you as well. So today, we're going to dive into part 9 of our Entanglement series, and we're going to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and I'm actually going to start reading around verse 25, even though our focal verses for today and our message for today will be around verses 31 through 32, but I want to start reading at verse 25. Here's what it says. In Ephesians chapter 4, therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hands, so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Here's our focal verses. Let all bitterness, everybody say bitterness. Bitterness, write bitterness in the comment section. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. Verse 31, let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting and slander be removed from you along with all malice. And I am simply calling today's message as we dive into the Word of God today. I'm calling today's message, Breaking Free from Bitterness. Breaking Free from Bitterness. Come on, I want you to find somebody who's in your room, in your apartment, if you're not alone. I want you to ask them, are you bitter? Are you salty? Are you bitter? Breaking Free from Bitterness. And family, I need y'all to go ahead and share this message right now. Y'all know the drill. Participation is better than observation. Share this video on YouTube, on Facebook. Send the link to somebody right now so that way they can get the freedom that God wants them to experience today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done over these past few weeks in this series that we've been in. I pray, Lord, that today would continue on in that same vein, that we would experience the freedom from bitterness that you want us to experience. We thank you that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Come on, family, write amen in the comment section. Say amen right where you are. Breaking free from bitterness. Breaking free from bitterness. So here in this passage of Scripture, we see the Apostle Paul, he's writing to believers here in Ephesus, modern-day Turkey is what we would know it to be. And he's helping them to understand what does it really mean to be a part of the family of God. He's helping them to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So around verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says these words, "Live life worthy of the calling you have received. Live life, therefore, in a way that is worthy of the calling that you have received." What is the calling that they have received that Paul is talking about here? The calling to being children of God, followers of Jesus, believers in Christ Jesus, Christians, so on and so forth, that he says you are now a part of the family of God. And what Paul is ultimately saying, because you're now a part of the family of God, I want you to act like it. Act like you got some sense up in you. Act like you're a part of the family of God. He says, live life worthy of the calling that you've received. So for the next remaining verses of chapter 4 specifically, and he even kind of flows over to chapter 5 with the same thought, he begins to give these different characteristics of what it means to live life as a follower of Jesus. He begins to give us the illustration and a picture of how we should be conducting ourselves as followers of Christ. Throughout this portion of Scripture, Paul begins to outline some things that believers should adopt as being a part of the family of God. But then Paul also begins at the same time to outline some of the things that believers unfortunately have been entangled in that they need to put down or put aside. And in verse 31, Paul begins to rattle off a few different things as we read earlier. But the word that I want us to focus in on today that I believe is a major word that has been tripping up many of us who are watching this right now is what Paul says in verse 31. Let all bitterness, everybody say bitterness right where you are. Say bitterness, write bitterness in the chat one more time. He says, get rid of, remove all bitterness. Why would Paul have to say something like this? What do we see and what do we gather from what Paul is saying here about this word called bitterness? I think what Paul is helping us first to see is what I'm calling the reality of bitterness. The reality of bitterness. In other words, bitterness is a real thing. It's not something that's made up. It's not something that's fake. It's not something that's artificial. No. Bitterness is something that is real. And in the midst of all the things that Paul mentions here, he makes mention of bitterness. Now, I'm not going to assume that all of us have an understanding of bitterness, but at the same time, I don't want to insult your intelligence. But I do want to give us just a foundational understanding of what bitterness is from a biblical sense, but then also from a practical sense. Bitterness is what some psychologists say is a feeling of antagonism, hostility, or resentfulness. Biblically speaking as well, it shares the same meaning, that it is a feeling of pain or distress. Psychologist Seth Meyers says it like this, that bitterness is a mixture of anger and sadness. That bitterness is a mixture of anger and sadness. I think we can identify this. I want to ask you a question here today as we're watching and worshiping online. Let me ask us just a question, just by show of hands in the comment section. How many of y'all have ever been wronged by somebody? How many of y'all have ever witnessed a wrong done to somebody and you wanted the person responsible for the wrongdoing to pay? Oh, let's just be real. Let's call it what it was, what it is. You really want them to suffer. You want them to pay for what they did. You want them to feel the pain that somebody else felt or that you yourself felt. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Let's not just act like, you know, we got it all together, but let's just be honest and call it what it is, call a spade a spade. You know what I'm talking about, that good for you feeling. You got what you deserved. You deserve what you got. How many of y'all have ever said something like this today? You deserve everything that you got, And also, especially some of our parents, this is what we say. I know I've said it to mine, and I've had to repent at times. That's what you get. Because in bitterness, there is this mixture of emotions. And oftentimes, when we have suffered, or we see someone suffering, you start to feel some bit of wanting to have some sense of vindication, which then begins to reveal the presence of bitterness. So when you begin to feel these feelings, I hope they get exactly what they deserve. They deserve to get locked up. They deserve to get this. They deserve. What that begins to show us that is that there is maybe possibly an element, or there is the presence of bitterness. Notice here in verse 31 of Ephesians chapter 4, when Paul is writing to the believers in Ephesus, notice what he says. He says, get rid of all bitterness. All. Somebody say all. You know what all means in the Greek language of the New Testament? All. It means everything. He says, get rid of all bitterness. Now, when I'm looking at this, I'm like, man, it's one thing for Paul to say, get rid of bitterness. But Paul actually says, get rid of all bitterness. Why would Paul have to go through great lengths to say, get rid of all bitterness? Because it begins to help us understand something very powerful about bitterness. That bitterness can take shape in different ways. Bitterness can manifest itself in a myriad of ways. What kind of ways, Pastor Edwin? I'm glad you asked. Bitterness towards people can be one, where you just salty towards people because of what they did. Bitterness because of disappointments, because things did not go the way you expected them. Bitterness because of pain that has been felt on your part. Bitterness, practically speaking, maybe for some of us can identify with this, especially in COVID. Bitterness because you got looked over for the promotion that you thought you deserved. And let's just be honest, I think all of us can maybe identify with this one. If we could just be real today, I want us to be real and honestly be honest today. I know I said it twice, but I want you to be honest. 2020 has not gone the way that many of us have expected. And for some of us, if the truth be told, quite frankly, it has left many of us bitter. Bitter that I didn't get the wedding that I wanted, the type of wedding that I wanted. Bitter that I didn't get to graduate the way that I wanted. Bitter that some relationships have ended that I thought were lifelong. Bitter that I've had things taken away from me. Bitter that unfortunate situations have happened in my life. I think all of us can identify with bitterness in some way, whether you're experiencing it now or whether you've experienced it before. And the dichotomy of what Paul mentions here about bitterness is that it is present in the lives of the believers in Jesus. What does that help us to see? That you can be Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, and still be bitter. You can know Jesus, you can speak in all tongues known and unknown, and still be salty. You can know scripture from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, and still be bitter. You can be saved and still be bitter. You can be a Christian and still be bitter. You can know Jesus and have been baptized and been walking with him and still be bitter. How do we know that? Because Paul is writing to Christians here and telling them to get rid of bitterness, which means that obviously somebody had to be bitter. Maybe it was some mama with some child. Maybe it was with some pastors. Maybe it was with some leaders in the church. We don't really know, but here's what we do know. He is addressing the church at large, and he is saying, get rid of all bitterness. Now, I hear what some of us are thinking and saying right now, right behind the screen, wherever you are. Some of us are thinking this right now. I have a right to be bitter because of what happened, Pastor Edwin. I got a right. Because of what they did to me, I got a right. Because of what they said about me, I got a right to be bitter. Because of things not going my way, I got a right to be bitter. Because of how 2020 has shaped up and all the things that have happened this year. Oh, Pastor Edwin, I got plenty of reason to be bitter. And honestly, quite frankly, I think I'm justified in my bitterness. Come on, some of y'all, can y'all be honest right now? Some of y'all, that's how you feel right now. You're like, man, I got a reason to be bitter. And I hear you, and I'm with you. But as we see Paul saying here in verse 31, to get rid of it, here's what this shows us about bitterness. Bitterness is not a strength, it is a stronghold. Did y'all hear what I said? I don't know if you heard me from where you are. That bitterness is not a strength, it's a stronghold. which then leads us to see not just the presence of bitterness, but now the problem with bitterness. And the problem with bitterness is that it affects you more than it affects others. It does more damage to you than it does to the people or the things that you're bitter towards. I like what Maya Angelou says. She says it like this: bitterness is like cancer. It eats upon the host. Bitterness is like cancer. It eats upon the host. Scripture has something to say about the same thing. James chapter 3, verse 13, starting there. Who among you is wise and understanding? By his good conduct, he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. Watch verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but it is earthly. Watch this now. Unspiritual and demonic. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder in every evil practice. You know what James calls bitterness? Demonic. He says, oh, no, it's not just like some light, trivial thing. No, no, no. It's actually a demonic thing. It's actually an unspiritual thing. It's actually a thing of a spirit of this world. And bitterness takes root in our hearts when we fail to check it. And when bitterness takes root in our hearts, it leads to dysfunction in our lives. Did you notice when Paul says, get rid of all bitterness? Do you notice what he says next right after bitterness? Let's go back to verse 31. Notice what he says. Let all bitterness, watch what he says next, anger and wrath, shouting and slander. Because where there's bitterness, anger is not too far from it. And where there's anger, what's after that? Wrath. And when there's wrath, it now leads to shouting and slander. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Because you've been yelling, screaming, slandering, all types of relationships, all types of people. And you know what the root of it is? Bitterness. And when we look around, I think we can see the presence and the problem of bitterness all around us. One psychologist gives a few practical signs of bitterness. Because if you're like me, I'm like, more, how do I know if I'm bitter? I need somebody to spell it out for me. Somebody give me a practical illustration of how I'm bitter. Here's a few things that one psychologist says. He says, negative in personality. We ain't talking about they just had a negative day. We're talking about they're a negative person. Where you can say, oh, it's so beautiful outside, and you're like, and that person's like, this is the worst day ever. Man, just negative all the time. They will take a positive and turn it into a negative. More than likely, that person is bitter. Here's another thing. They often, watch this here, engage in passive-aggressive behavior. What do we mean by passive-aggressive? Passive-aggressive behavior referring to indirect resistance to the demands of others. Meaning that the individual engages in behaviors that are at root negativistic and angry, but delivered in a nuanced and confusing way. In other words, they're real sly with their bitterness. They make real sly comments under their breath. Y'all know people like that? They talk under their breath. Oh, they salty. They bitter. Here's another thing. Bitter individuals often operate from a blaming and non-empathetic perspective. They play the blame game. In other words, they always see themselves as the victim. Oh, fresh revelation. It's not even in my notes, so you need to write this down right now. That oftentimes the reason why they see themselves as the victim and they're oftentimes blaming is because they're suffering from a hurt that has not been healed. And when you're suffering from a hurt that has not been healed, what happens is you begin to bleed on everybody else. So now your bitterness now becomes contagious. And bitterness is a problem. And as Maya Angelou says, it eats away at us from the inside out. And if we could just be honest, I believe that for too long, many of us have been bound by bitterness. Bitterness keeps family from talking to one another for years. Bitterness is what ruptures relationships. Bitterness is what affects one's relationship with God. Bitterness has led people to not being able to trust anybody. Bitterness is always looking for the angle in someone that when somebody's doing something nice because of the bitterness and not being healed of it, they look at this person with a slant like, oh no, it's too good to be true. Bitterness. Bitterness has oftentimes deteriorated our souls. And I think if we look in our country, in our world, bitterness has also deteriorated humanity. Bitterness has created tension in marriages, not speaking to one another for days. Oh, y'all salty. just call it what it is. Somebody's salty with somebody, whether it's because of something that we may deem major or something that's minor. But nonetheless, bitterness has got up in the mix of it. Bitterness is the reason why some of us have not been able to have life-giving relationships in our lives. Not because God has not sent them to us, but because the life-giving people that God has sent us, because we have not been healed of the pain that has affected us, we end up pushing people away that we should actually be allowing to step in. Bitterness. Y'all see how dangerous this thing is? I want somebody to say bitterness. Say bitterness right where you are. Write bitterness in the comment section. Bitterness is poison. Bitterness is hard. And when we're in bondage to bitterness, it causes us to view people from a broken lens. Causes us to mistreat people. It causes us to label people. It causes us to be negative in nature. Bitterness robs us of joy. It robs us of peace. It robs us of the relationships that God wants us to possess. It robs us from experiencing a relationship with God that is flourishing and thriving. Bitterness, and this is what Paul is really getting at here in Ephesians chapter 4. One of the biggest things that it causes is it causes division amongst people. Bitterness causes us to not be unified with people. Bitterness, family, is an entanglement that we need to be free from. And Paul says these words, I want you to get rid of it. Just as we would diagnose a cancer and we realize we need to get it up out of you because if it continues to spread, it will kill you. Bitterness is the same way. Bitterness is one of those things that takes root on the inside. It is an internal thing. It is not an external thing. It eats away. It corrodes on the inside of us. And if we could be honest today, many of us have been dealing with this stronghold and this bondage called bitterness. Some of us have been bitter for years because of something that happened. Some of us have been bound by bitterness because of a disappointment. And I get it. I know what it feels like because I've been bitter plenty of times. And you can find yourself now functioning from this place of bitterness. And now what happens is it becomes normal even though it's abnormal. Here's another term that psychologists have coined this term, the normal abnormal. Meaning this, that when abnormal things, we become so accustomed to them, now they become normalized for us. It becomes a way of life for us. And many of us are so steeped in the bitterness that it has become so normal to us that even hearing what I'm saying right now is like, this don't make no sense. Because our perspective has been shaped by bitterness. I'm going to ask us an honest question. Are you bitter? Are you salty? Who are you salty with right now? Is it a coworker? Is it a neighbor? Is it your spouse? That's why y'all ain't slept in the same room in months. Is it an employee? Is it your employer? Who is it right now that you're bitter with? Oh, I'll take it a step further. Some of us are even bitter towards God because he did not do what we wanted him to do. Oh, bitterness, y'all, it takes on so many different forms. And I want to ask us this question. I need you to honestly diagnose yourself right now. Am I bitter? Am I bitter? Let me give you another practical illustration of how you know you're bitter with somebody. That even a thought of a particular person sends you into a frenzy. You start getting all hot, angry, upset. That just the thought of this person begins to conjure up something on the inside of us that lets you know that maybe bitterness has taken root. What's another way that you know you might be bitter and might be suffering from bitterness and might be in bondage to bitterness is something that happened some years ago, a wound that took place some years ago, and because you haven't fully healed from it, it now influences how you treat people, how you talk to people, how you look at people. It shapes so much. But I want you to know something, family. God's desire is not that you wouldn't be in bondage to bitterness. Because of God's love for us, he wants us to see that we can be free from bitterness. That yes, bitterness is a reality, but here's another thing that God helps us to see here in Ephesians chapter 4, that there is the reality of bitterness, but the good news of the gospel is this, that there is also a remedy for bitterness. And I want you to look at what it is in verse 32. After Paul says in verse 31, let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you along with all malice. Watch what Paul says here. And be kind and compassionate to one another. Some of y'all are like, oh, no. Oh, then Paul takes it a step further. Watch this. This is where it's at. Forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. What remedy does God give us through his word here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32? How do we get free from bitterness? You want to know what it is? It's summed up in one word, forgiveness. Oh, look, some of y'all are already thinking about logging off right now. You're thinking about shutting the computer down and going to somebody else's church feed right now because right now this is messing with you. And every time, I've always said this, every time whenever I preach on forgiveness in our church, it always gets tight in a room. Now I can't see y'all, but I'm willing to believe it's probably tight where you are right now. Forgiveness? Forgiveness. Paul says, instead of being tied to bitterness, I want you to walk in forgiveness. He tells the church, get rid of all bitterness. How do we get rid of bitterness? By walking in forgiveness. By forgiving others for what they have done. Oh, this is tough, y'all. This is tough, but the Bible actually has a whole lot to say about forgiveness and forgiving those who have wronged us rather than harboring bitterness. Here's what Matthew 5:7 says. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. That's from Jesus's the greatest sermon ever preached, known as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. He says, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Mercy means not giving you what you do deserve. And forgiveness is an act of mercy. Oh, because you ain't deserve it. But I'm giving it to you anyhow. Mercy. It don't stop there. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 22, the Bible says, then Peter approached Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Ain't that some of the things that we say? Now, all right, now listen. Now, I know this whole no cap thing is a thing, but there is a cap when it comes to my forgiveness. Now, I forgive you once and twice, but that third time, no, you on your own. You're going to get this work. You're going to catch these hands. Notice what Jesus says. How many times? As many as seven times, Peter says. I tell you, Jesus says, not as many as seven. Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. 70 times seven. Now that's 490 times. If you know, that's my engineering background coming in. 490 times. Now I'm gonna be real with you. I probably lost count past three. So what Jesus is really advocating for is, don't count how many times you need to forgive. Forgiveness is not something that you put a cap on. Forgiveness is not something that has a limit. No. Forgiveness is something that's continuous. He says, forgive as much as you need to. As much as they offend you, forgive them. As much as they talk about you, forgive them. As much as they lie on you, forgive them. As much as they abuse you, forgive them. As much as they turn their back on you, forgive them. As much as they abandon you, forgive them. As much as they spread false news and false things on social media about you, forgive them. Why? Because forgiveness is making the decision to release someone of the pain that they caused you. Let me say it again because I don't know if you got it. Forgiveness is making the decision to release someone of the pain they caused you. But I want to be honest with you today, family, and let you know this. It's not easy to get to that place of forgiveness. I'll say it like this. I want you to write this down. Take a screenshot of it. Forgiveness is simple, but it's not easy. Forgiveness is simple, but it's not easy. What do you mean by simple and easy, Pastor? Aren't they the same thing? No. Forgiveness is simple. It's a decision. Oh, but it's not easy. It's not easy. Why is forgiveness not easy? Because we gotta take a step to be able to get over the pain that we are experiencing. And when we begin to get up in that pain, what we see is, man, we're so entangled in this thing because of something that happened years ago, because of something that somebody did, because of something that somebody said. And, oh, man, that rabbit hole runs so deep. And we gotta be able to get over ourselves. And getting over ourselves is the hardest thing to get over. That's why forgiveness is simple, but it's not easy. And Paul understands what he's saying is not easy, that it's hard. How do I know that? Because of what Paul says next at the end of verse 32. He says, forgive one another. And here's the reason why. Just as God forgave you in Christ. Why do we forgive? Because God forgave you and your sin and your mess up and your trifling ways and my trifling ways. He forgave us through Jesus Christ. Forgiveness, y'all, is easy to receive. Oh, but it's hard to give. When you look at the cross, it's vertical and it's horizontal. We oftentimes like to just focus on one beam of the cross, receiving the forgiveness of God for all the mess, all the mess ups, all the things that we have done. Come on, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. All of us in here, myself included, got a laundry list of things that God has forgiven us for, and thanks be unto God that he has forgiven us of all of our sins, past, present, and future. Come on, somebody, shout amen if you are grateful for the fact that God has forgiven you. Oh, man, but that cross has got two pieces to it. It ain't just vertical, but it's also horizontal, which means that, yep, I got to receive the forgiveness of God, but then God calls me to extend the forgiveness of God to others. Forgiveness is something, I want you to write this down, take a screenshot. Forgiveness is something we love to receive, but hate to give. Oh, we love to receive it. We love to know that we're forgiven by God. I love to know that I'm forgiven by God. But when he tells me to forgive somebody for this terrible, heinous thing that they did to me, I don't know about that, Jesus. I think you might have got that one wrong. I don't know. It's hard. Which is why Paul gives us the reason that we are to forgive. Forgiving one another. What's the reason? Just as God also forgave you in Christ. I like what Pastor Alistair Begg says. When I fail to forgive you, it's because, oh, this is so good, it's going to mess us up. If you can't say amen, say ouch. When I fail to forgive you, it's because I've exaggerated the offense against me and I have minimized my offense against God. When I fail to forgive you, it's because I have exaggerated. I have blown it out of proportion. I have made what you have done to me the worst thing in human history, and I've minimized how I have sinned against God. And what Paul is trying to help us understand here is if you want to be free from bitterness, you not only have to experience the forgiveness of God, but you got to extend the forgiveness of God. I'll just be honest with y'all, I'll be a little transparent. I remember a few years ago, I was wounded emotionally by a few people that I would have never expected. People that I considered friends, you know, close friends and trusted, you know, and just got blindsided with attack here and attack there. And I'm gonna be real with y'all, I was bitter. Oh, I was salty. I know what the Bible says. But I was salty. Come on, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about in here. Y'all can testify, like, Pastor, I'm right there with you. There's been moments in my life, and I'm dealing with some of it right now where I'm just salty. And I remember going through that moment. I was harboring resentment. I didn't want to forgive. Said I ain't never going to have nothing to do with them, do with this person, do with that person. But then God reminded me of this scripture. Forgive one another. Just as God in Christ has forgiven you. You know what God was speaking to me in that moment? He says, listen, I know you think they don't deserve forgiveness, but you didn't deserve mine either. But yet I gave it to you. That's called mercy. And the more I begin to reflect on that, the more I begin to say to myself, how much of a hypocrite would I be to say I've received the forgiveness of God and know the depravity of my sin that put Jesus on the cross, but won't forgive this person or that person for how they wounded me. Oh, family, I'm not saying that it disregards what happened. I'm not saying that it makes it okay. One of the things that we teach our kids at home when one of the kids, you know, hits another kid or says something mean or whatever the case may be, and you know, we try to cultivate what it looks like to be a family of reconciliation. So we're teaching them about apologizing and forgiveness and things of that nature. And early on, when we were teaching the kids to apologize, they would say, I'm sorry for what I did. did. And the other child who was wounded by what the other child did would say something like this, it's okay. And we had to correct them and say, no, it's not okay what they did. And we had to replace that with, I forgive you. Because I forgive you acknowledges that what you did was wrong. But it also acknowledges I'm no longer going to hold it against you. And oftentimes, we don't forgive others because we ourselves have forgotten how much forgiveness we needed. Let me say it like this, that we don't forgive because of others. It's not because of them that we forgive. We forgive because of God. And to experience freedom from our bitterness, take a screenshot of this, get this in your heart, get this in your spirit, family, right now. To experience freedom from our bitterness, we have to walk in God's forgiveness. Because the remedy for bitterness is experiencing the forgiveness of God and expressing the forgiveness of God. Because when we forgive, it releases us from the prison of offense. And now, let me help us also understand something. And this is something I also had to kind of learn when it came to forgiveness some years ago. That just because you forgive someone does not mean that you got to trust them the same way that you originally did. Forgiveness and trust are two different things. I forgive you for what you did, but to get that trust back is going to have to take some time. That's not what Paul is advocating for here. He didn't say, trust one another. He says, forgive one another. Because here's what forgiveness does. Forgiveness is instant, but trust takes time, and trust then leads to reconciliation. So forgiveness is the doorway for reconciliation to happen. Trust can't be built back up if forgiveness doesn't first take place. God understands that. So he says, forgive. Because when we forgive, we get healed. And relationships then can be restored. It's part of the content right now that we're walking through in our Connect groups. We're walking through our Connect groups and we're walking through some material called Be the Bridge. Talking about God's desire for reconciliation, even more to that racial reconciliation. What is the whole purpose of reconciliation? That God's people, that all of humanity would be one. And I want to encourage all of us to get in a Connect group right now, because what you will begin to see is maybe there has been some bitterness that has taken root on the inside of us that we were not aware of. I want you to understand something, family, that the remedy for bitterness is forgiveness. That there's no way you can get bitterness off of you until you begin to receive the forgiveness of God in Christ, but also extend the forgiveness of God in Christ. And I hear what some of us are saying. I'm going to close with this. Some of y'all might be saying, I hear you, Pastor, but I just can't get past what they did to me. I just can't get over how they wounded me, how they talked about me, how they dogged me, how they lied about me, how they abused me emotionally, mentally, even physically, maybe even sexually. I can't get over that, Pastor. I hear what the scriptures say, and I want to do it, but I can't get over it. And I just feel like this bitterness thing, like I feel so much better being bitter. You don't know what I've endured, Pastor Edwin. And I would agree with you. I don't know what you've experienced. I don't know what you have gone through, but what I do know is that Jesus knows what wounded you. What I do know is that Jesus knows exactly the thing that caused you the pain that you've been suffering from for years, maybe for some of us for decades, generations. Maybe bitterness has been passed down from your grandfather, your grandmother, previous generation, now to you. But I want you to understand, Jesus knows what you are feeling. And I want to take it a step further. Jesus has experienced what you're experiencing. The Bible says it like this. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, physically. But he is also, as well, emotionally. The Bible says he was filled with so much anguish when he was going to the garden. He was praying before God the Father. And he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Oh, Jesus knows exactly what it's like to feel pain and to feel afflicted. How do we know? Because if you remember, and if you know anything about the Bible, you know that Jesus had some people that were close to him. He had 12 guys that were following him all around. He had a few that were closer than others. Peter, James, and John. His best friend, his closest friend, Peter. The guy that said, I will be down with you. I'm ride or die, Martin Lawrence, Will Smith, Bad Boys for Life. Peter even said, if everybody else turns their back on you, Jesus, I'm not. I'm riding shotgun. Jesus tells him, nah, Peter, even you, when that rooster crows, you will have denied me 3 times. And the Bible says that Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but it didn't stop there. Even another follower of his by the name of Judas betrayed him, set him up to be captured. It didn't stop there. People spit on him. People mocked him. People lied on him. And I want you to see all of these different instances, Jesus has every reason to be bitter. Your best friend turned his back on you. You were betrayed by another one. People spoke negative about you. People made up things about you. People lied on you. People whipped you. People abused you. People drug you literally through the dirt. Oh, Jesus had every reason to be bitter. And it didn't even stop there. Because then Jesus actually got on the cross and he was offered a drink while suffering on the cross for your sin and my sin, the sins of all of humanity. Matthew chapter 27, verse 33 says, when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, watch this, they gave him wine mixed with gall to drink. But when he tasted it, he refused to drink it. What was gall? Gall was a bitter substance. This drink right here was a bitter drink. And the minute Jesus tasted it, spit it out, refused it. The drink was a mixture, wine and gall, this very bitter drink. Jesus tasted bitterness on the cross when offered the cup of bitterness. But you know what he did? He refused to drink it. He refused to allow bitterness to enter into his soul and contaminate his heart. He desired to walk in love and endure the suffering of the cross for us. He wasn't filled with bitterness. He was filled with forgiveness, which is why on the cross, after he was being beaten and he was being flogged, notice what he says on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Jesus had every reason to be bitter, but yet he walked in forgiveness. He was grounded with forgiveness. And I think the lesson there for us, the question that it raises for us is, what cup are you drinking from? I want you to see that bitterness and forgiveness are like two cups. And one cup is filled with all these different things. And many of us are being presented with two choices. I could either drink from this bitter cup, consume it. Oh my gosh. Disgusting. Y'all know, if y'all know anything about drinking something bitter, it leaves a nasty taste in your mouth. It does something on the inside. It makes you make the stank face. Oh, that's what bitterness does. Many of us are walking around stanky because we got bitterness on the inside of us. But then Jesus offers us a different cup to drink from, the cup of forgiveness. Now, I want you to understand something about these two cups. Both of them contain the same substance, something that's sour, something that's bitter. But when you begin to add in a certain ingredient, sugar to be exact, something sweet. You mix it up. You get a good little concoction there. You get that thing going. Something that was once bitter becomes sweet. Y'all know the saying, taking lemons and turning it into lemonade. And what God does through his grace and through his love is he takes something that was bitter and he inserts his grace and he inserts his love into that which was bitter and brings about his sweetness. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I want us to understand something, family. That drinking from the cup of bitterness leaves you bitter. It leaves you salty. It leaves a nasty taste in your life, in your mouth. But drinking from the cup of forgiveness leads to a life that flourishes, leads to a life that is of peace. Doesn't lead to a bitter life, leads to a better life. Both of those cups contain the same ingredients. Notice, I didn't take anything out of the cup. I didn't take out the bitter substance per se. No. I added something greater to the bitter substance. That's our word for this year, greater. I added something greater to what was in that cup. And it immediately transformed the taste of what was in that cup to be something better. And when we allow the grace of God and the love of God to take root on the inside of us, he can take that which was bitter and turn it into something better. That's what it means to be free of bitterness. That if you and I want to be free from the bondage called bitterness, that means that I, you, all of us watching online, man, we got to drink from the cup of forgiveness. Oh, I know it's hard. And I know it doesn't make sense. I get it. They don't deserve it. I get it. They mistreated you. I get it. They dogged you. I get it. They lied on you. I get it, they abandoned you. I get it, that person was supposed to be your father, they abandoned you. I get it, that person was supposed to be your mother, they abandoned you. I get it, man, I feel you. But what I also know is the longer you carry around this bitterness in your heart and in your soul, it will continue to erode and eradicate all the good things that God wants to bring in your life. And the way for you and I to be free and for you to be free today of this bitterness and this bondage of bitterness is forgiveness. Experiencing the forgiveness of God, being reminded of how God has forgiven you in Christ Jesus, but then now also walking in forgiveness. Forgiving that person for what they said about you. Forgiving that person for how they lied on you. Forgiving that person for how they walked out on your life. Forgiving all of the things that have caused you pain. But Pastor, the person that offended me, man, they're dead and gone. Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgiveness takes one, you. It's reconciliation that requires two. And for those who may have passed on, God still says, I want you to forgive that person. Though the relationship might not be able to be reconciled because death was imminent and that relationship is gone, you can still forgive them. Because now what happens is when you forgive, it allows you to be able to move forward. And I believe that the greater that God wants you to experience is on the other side of you walking in forgiveness and being free of this bitter bondage. I believe that today is the day that God is saying, today is your day of liberation. Today is your day of freedom. Today is the day where you will no longer be bound by bitterness, but that you will be grounded by forgiveness. For those of us who are watching this online right now, this message is resonating with you. And you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want to be free from bitterness. If that's you, I want to be free from bitterness. I just want you to raise your hand right where you are. I can't see you, but God sees you. I want you to raise your hand right where you are, right in your apartment, right in your home, wherever you're watching this from, in your car, whatever. Keep the other hand on the steering wheel. But keep your hand, raise your hand. God, I want to be free. I want to be free of this bitterness. And the way you become free of bitterness is through forgiveness. By first receiving the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus. Believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he bled, that he suffered, that he died. He suffered for your sins, not his. He was perfect. He never sinned. He offered to you and I something that we never deserved. And just to show you how powerful he is, even over the bondage called bitterness, he got up out of the grave. He rose back to life on the third day through his resurrection power. And his resurrection power is strong enough to break the bondage of bitterness. And so if this is you, you're watching this, you're saying, I want to be free from bitterness today. I need to receive the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus. I've never prayed the prayer of salvation. I've never asked Jesus into my life. I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day to give me life, life more abundantly. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, church family, I want you to put your hands together right now for every single person who said yes to Jesus, who prayed that prayer, who's becoming free of bitterness right now. God is doing a new thing. He is setting captives free. He is breaking the back and the bondage of bitterness over your life right now if you prayed that prayer. And for those of us right now, you're a follower of Christ, but bitterness has taken a root on the inside of you. I want to pray for you as well right now in this moment. I want to lead us in a prayer of freedom because I believe that God's great things that he has for you is not behind you, it is in front of you. So I want to pray for you right now if you're struggling with bitterness, that today is the day that you would begin to experience freedom. So I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, for every single person watching this online, listening to this right now, every single person who is a Christian, I pray, God, that you would set them free. Help them to get rid of the bitterness through your forgiveness. Lord, you have called us in your word to get rid of all bitterness, all types, all fashions, all shapes. So we get rid of it even now in the name of Jesus, because you want us to live a life of freedom. You want us to throw off every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, even the sin and the weight of bitterness. So Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would begin to heal broken hearts. I pray that you would begin to replace those hearts of stone with hearts of flesh. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that wherever we are suffering from parent wounds, relational wounds, financial wounds, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would set us free from those things right now. I pray, God, that we would be a people who are no longer bound by bitterness, but that we would be a people marked by your forgiveness that we've received, and your forgiveness that we also give. So, Lord, we declare and decree today is the day that we are free from bitterness. We will no longer walk in bitterness. We will walk in forgiveness. We will let those things go. We will no longer hold things against people. Why? Because you no longer hold our sin against us because of the blood and the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we will walk in victory. We will walk in freedom in Jesus' name. We thank you and we believe that it is so in Jesus' name. And every person who believes that they are free because of the blood of Jesus, come on, shout amen right where you are. Come on, put your hands together right where you are. If you know that the Son sets people free, and they are free indeed.